Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Nida Daf Chafei. We are holding three lines off the top of the Amid. Sha'alu lifnei Rebbe. The following question was posed before Rebbe. Hamapelas Shefir. Mole Bosar Mal. In the Mishnah, we learned that if a woman is charged with something called a shefir, which is the external shell of the fetus. So the Mishnah says, all depends if it's filled with mayim, dum, water, all kinds of liquid. It does not represent the presence of a fetus in development. And therefore, it does not require her to observe 2 months later. However, if the shefir is merukam, says the Mishnah, if it's formed, it has formation, with limbs are somewhat discernible in that sack, then it represents a true velad in development, in the making, in which case it has status and she's considered a yoledes regarding 2 months later. Now comes a situation which is a bit similar, but not exactly the same. We have a shefir, right? This external, pouch, this skin, membrane type of pouch, which is filled with flesh material. Mali bas or ma, what's the status there? Amar lahem, he says, I'm not sure, I never heard about this one. Lo shamati, I wasn't taught the halach on this one. I don't know. Amar lefanav. So who is there? Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yis. And he tells Rabbi, I have a quote from my father. My father said as follows. He said two things actually. Mali dam tamei anida. If it's filled with dam, she's tamei not due to yoledes. Rather, that blood is considered a nida experience despite being contained in a pouch. And mali basar tamei leida, filled with basar, subject of our discussion. Well, that's considered something with status. Indication of the blood, and she's tummy laid. Omar Loi, so Rabbi responded to Rishmoel. He says, sorry, I can't really accept this as fact. Maybe your father, if he would have been presenting his own opinion, of course I would accept it, but perhaps he's just quoting another Chacham's opinion, which the halacha does not adopt. Omar Loi. If only davar chadash amar talan mishmavicha, had you have quoted a new halacha from your father, of course shemanucha, we would accept it. But achshav, but now you quoted two halachas, and I know for a fact that the first is really quoting an opinion which is not accepted by the consensus. That's the one that blood is inside, and still she's considered experiencing the Amida. That's a chiddush. That's Sumchas' opinion, which we had back in the beginning of the Perek, which the Rabbanon dispute. And therefore, midaho kamaisa chido kamar, since the first halacha was sourced in an individual opinion, kisumchas, right, Shalom Shalom Meir, that even hidden dam qualifies as the Amida. Hanami, so perhaps a second item as well, was not his own personal opinion, just relating to individual opinion, and he qualifies it as a vlad, and we're not necessarily going to accept or adopt that approach. Shema, perhaps, ki Rabbi Yeshua Amra, he's merely relating to Yeshua's shita. Ven alacha Yeshua, we don't pass like that. The son, would we have this machlekes between Rabbi Yeshua and the Rabbanon regarding a sphere which is filled with basar, with tisanya, mapela sphere sheni merukim. So she drops this sphere, which is not discernible. There are no discernible limbs. It's not, formed. Rabbi Shua says, it's still a vlad. Rabbi Shua, Imer vlad. V'cham, Imer, no, ain't a vlad. Omer Rabbi, Shimon Lakish. He quotes Mishum Beishu. Let me define the machlekes. What kind of sphere? What's inside? Machlekes ba'achar. We're speaking that the material inside the sphere is achar, is clouded. It's murky. And here, Rabbi Shua holds Why is it murky? Apparently there was something there, something of substance, and it has vlad status. Aval, but solo, but it's just clear liquid. Divrei HaKol, any vlad, all agree it has no status. Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, even b'tzol machlekes. Even if it's clear, we have the same opinions. Rabbi Shaw considers it. Boydlin, the question was, what did he mean, b'tzol machlekes? That by the clear, we have a dispute. But if it's murky, which it's indicative of more, you know, substance, Abba Ba'achar, all agree it's evlad, v'yarko evlad. Or you can say machlekes applies to both cases equally. B'mezeh machlekes. Take it, we're not sure. Okay, so we started with a question to Rebbe regarding a shvir, which is malei basar, malei, you know, liquefied material. What's the halacha? He's not sure. Rishon Bresi quotes his father. Turns out that it's really machlekes Rabbi Shua and the Chachamim. And according to the first approach, it's only by achor. Rabbi Shua maintains that it has status. According to the second approach, even by tzolo, meisve comes a kasha. So you're saying that only by murky material is it indicative of a vlad? Meisve, who's Rabbi Shua? Who was the shita that we're presenting? Rabbi Shua. Listen to Rabbi Shua himself speaking in a brisa. Meisve, Ezu Dorosh Rabbi Shua ben Chanani. Rabbi Shua ben Chanani, who was the same Rabbi Shua we had a minute ago, expounded on a pasuk as his source to give this phenomena validity. Hashem enclothed Adam Rishon and Chava with these leather, with these skin enclothements, their skin, right? So that's the sort of finishing touch after the skeleton and the muscles and the flesh comes. Malamed, we learn that the external shell is sort of that's the finish line. As the completion of formation of a human being. Hashem does not present, complete a person with his oyer, elam kein noitzer, till he's formed. Alma bar talim mosa. Okay, so Rabbi Shua learns from this pasuk that skin is an indication of development, of completion. And therefore he says, if a woman drops a shvir, which is the oyer of the vlad, we see a vlad there. We give it status. Okay, end quote. Now let's analyze what he said. He needed a source, a pasuk, to give oyer, right, skin, to give it status. Alma bar talimos. Loishna achor. Loishna tzolo. So apparently, it's unrelated to the nature of the liquefied content, whether it's murky or clear. Why? Why am I saying that? Because if in fact Rabbi Shua maintains his position even by clear liquid, that would explain why he needs to have a source to give the external shell status, because the focus is no longer on the content, it's clear. So why does it have status? Oh, because of the actual skin. And that's why he had to go find a pasuk for that. Hainu Dishra Kro, that's why he required a pasuk. Eli Amos B'och Machlekes, but if it's because of the murky content, so why do we need a pasuk for that? We see the vlad here in a liquefied form. Lomali Kros Sfarav Almas, plain logic. That there must have been a vlad which disintegrated. Hello Shmamino B'tzol Machlekes Shmamino. That confirms that in fact our discussion is unclear. And even there, Rabbi Shua says it has status because of the skin itself, which is indicative of the vlad. As per the pasuk, that skin is the final stage of development. So he relates back to the first approach, and it's only by murky we have this machlekes al batzol, or if it's clear, all agree it's not a vlad. Rabbi asked the question to Rabbi Nachman. Ella or Aval Amru Simon Vlad Bebehema Daka. This is a Mishnah back in Bechoris. So the first discharge, the first birth, is considered the Peta Rechem, which has Bechoris status, but subsequent experiences are no longer qualifying for Bechoris. Now, what's considered a first experience? Any sort of discharge? Aval Amru. The following formula was established. Simon Vlad Bebehema Daka Tinov, by a light animal, a goat or sheep. What's a sign of birth, even a tinuf. Some sort of discharge of more Bukharis discuss exactly how we describe this tinuf, some sort of discharge, which is called a tinuf. And that's indicative of a liquefied vlad, some sort of fetus, and that's it, she's done. Next birth is no longer Bukhar. But gasa by a large or heavy animal, or, a cow, a tinuf is not indicative of a vlad, it's just some sort of residual discharge. Rather, you need a sholia, placenta, a sac. Beisha by a woman, by a human, shefir by a sholia. She's mapul, either a sholia or a shefir, which is what we're talking about today. That would be considered the first birth experience and exempt any subsequent births from bechira. End quote. Now, let's take a look at the items just mentioned. We have tinuf by behemah daka. We have shvir v'sholia by the isha and by the gasa. All you have is a shvir. What happened to the shvir? Ilu shvir behemah daka. The behemah leipot. There's no mention of a shvir working for the behemah gasa. Why? Why? Look, if it's filled with material, which is presumed to be a liquefied fetus, so who cares if it's human or if it's animal? It abides by the same principles. Oh, but if we're talking about clear, that explains why it's unique to an Isha. Isha, we have the Pasuk, the Adam Arishan, by a human it has status. Isha, the Rabbi Akra, by a Isha, where there's a Pasuk, including this, giving this external shell, this skin pouch status, pata ba shvir, so the shvir exempts her from further bechira. As opposed to behemah, we don't have a source in a pasuk that a shvir works by behemah. Le rabbi kra, le pata ba shvir, the shvir does not have status. And that's only because we're focusing on the shvir per se. Here it counts, here it doesn't. Eli amres bechem achlekes, but if it's about the content, murky content is indicative of a disintegrated vlad. So why is that relevant? Whether it's human or animal, it's all one and the same point. Michti svaru is plain logic. Ma'ishno isha, ma'ishno behema. What difference if it's an isha or behema? So how could you say that Rabbi Yeshua's position to consider a shvir as a vlad is dependent upon its telltale content? Says the Gemara, "Savra Rabbi Yeshua misha pashitli." Let's backtrack a second. Yes, I insist. Rabbi Yeshua is speaking about murky content. But he's not even sure then what status to give it. He's not sure. It could be Menas status. It could be there was no vlad. We're going to be machmer. We're going to be strict and stringent. Misavris, Rabbi Yeshua Mifshet Pashali. You think it's clear to him that it has status? Rabbi Yeshua is fucking misapkali. Rabbi Yeshua wasn't sure himself. And therefore, in all situations, he went lachumra. Vazal hacha lachumra, hacha lachumra. In all situations, he goes lachumra. Let's go down the list. Now, be an answer to your question. Kabi isha de mamaynahu, by a woman, where the question of bechir status relates to monetary claims of the kohen wanting his five selah for bidin aben. Okay, so maybe this is no longer a bechir because the earlier shfir was the bechir. Safek mamaynahu, we have an uncertainty regarding a monetary claim. What happens? You keep your money. Hold on to your money. Look cool. She's considered exempt. Gabe behema di surhu di ika. But by the Bukhar status of a behemoth, where it's more complicated than that. Firstborn Bukhar is Kaddish, you can share it, Gizav, Avaid, you can work with it. So there we have to be strict and consider the possibility that in fact the first discharge, the first shvir, really wasn't a vlad, and this is really the Bukhar. Safek, in matters of Isuri, you have to go to Chum. And Hachanami Gabi Isha, the truth is, that here as well, when Rabbi Yeshua says that the shvir is considered a vlad, again it's because he's not sure how to classify it. Gabish suffik tumah duch lachomer. It's a question of tumah's leidus. He goes lachomer and he activates tumah's leidus. How could you say that it's a suffik? How could you say he's not sure? He had a pasuk to prove his point. Umi mesapkli, is he uncertain? V'akro kamei, quoted a pasuk that a shvir counts. I mean, the rabban, really, it's only the rabbanon. Across Machtaba Amu, like we say many times in Shas, a pasuk can be used as a sort of a semi, like a hint. indication of some sorts, but it's not really a source. It's just an indication that Hashem anticipated the Chachamim will present this concept and hinted it in the Torah. Okay, so we have a summary of Shitas here regarding the status of a Shafir. Amalei Rav Chanina bar Shlami l'Rav. Yes, Rav. We have a printout of four opinions. Which one would you go with? Ha Rebbe. We started with Rebbe. He wasn't sure. Ha Rishon Yesi quoted his father that it's considered of Lad. Ha Rav Aishia, who explained that Rabbi Shon Chacham are speaking strictly about a muddled, murky shvir. Rabbi Shimon Levi. Finally, we have the next shita, which says that even if it's clear, Rabbi Shaw still maintains that it's a vlad. So pick your choice. Which opinion would you adopt? Mar you, come on, Svirle. Amrle says, you know what? None of the above. Amrle, on the Oim, I hold echad zevechad zeinich hasheshes, whether it's achor, whether it's tzolol, don't worry about it. Because I hold like the Chachamim, in all situations, has no status. With Shmuel, Amr the other way around. He says, echad zevechad zeinich hasheshes. He says, whether it's achor or tzolol, you got to be concerned that it was a vlad, and you have to observe to Masleda just in case. And of course, she has no Dimei Tahara. It can only be Machmer, give her Dimei Tuma. And Shmuel, who was Machmer in this regard, is consistently going with his view. The Chiyasr of Dimi, Omar of Dimi came and he told us, Me'aylam! It never happened that in the town of Shmuel, which was Nahardo, they would discount the shvir and allow the isha to be exempt from 2 months later. Ma'ilam loydoch, they never were metahir shvir benardo levar, except for one story. Mahu shafir, except for this one shafir, the askamay the Shmuel, which was presented to Shmuel, and he made a little field test. The monach alechut asara, he confirmed that it wasn't really a vlad. He put on a little hair, ma'gisa, on one side of this sort of balloon. V'chazya, or v'chazye, ma'gisa, he saw it through the other side. It was so transparent, so clear. Amar, he says, this could not have come to any serious stage of development. The Misa, the Vlad, the Voif, it was really a Vlad, wouldn't be so see-through. Like, have a zig, wouldn't be clear, so see-through, kuli high to this extent. Mishnah continues, but if the Shvir is somewhat formed, it has status. How do you define a Shvir Merukam? Omar Abba Shola Imer, he says, Tchilas Briyasa, I've described you what it's meant to look like. Tchilas Briyasa Miroishai. So, the start of its formation is from the head side. Ushteinav Kishtei Tipin Shosvov, and the place of the two eyes appear like two little droplets, two eyes of a fly. That's how small they are, two marks. Tani Rabbechia, he explains, Meruchokin Zemezeh, the marks are meant to be at a distance from each other, like reminiscent of two eyes. Then we have the Shnei Chaitam and two nostrils, Kishnei, Kishtei Tipim Shazvov. Again, the two openings are like the two drops, the two eyes of a fly. And in this case, they're meant to be closer, like the nostril. Taner Bechia, Mukuram, Zelazeh, they're close to each other. Piv, Matuach Chutasaro. And the mark of his pev, his mouth, is in the form of a Chutasaro, like a hair, just a very, very slight line. Matuach means it's extended, expands, long, like Chutasaira. Ugviyasa ka adosha, and the Aver of the Zachar, the size of a adosha of a lentil, was in the cave of, she was a female, then kisaira l'arko. So you would examine to see if there's a mark in that area, like the crevice found alongside the length of a barley kernel. That would be indicative of that gender. It doesn't have distinct, hands and feet. As we find the description of this whole formation process over in Eiv, when Eiv spoke to Hashem, and he described his own making. Look, Hashem, haloi kecholav tatecheni, v'chagvinu atakpieni. Spread me, pour me like cholov, and congeal me like cheese, and you would develop stage by stage. Oy rabasa talbisheni, You would form the ur and the basar, v'atzomes v'gidin t'chicheni, cover me with bones, with sinews, chayim, v'chesed, asisi madi. So much chesed, so much kindness, of kudos chasham aruchi, and you guarded my spirit, my neshama in me. So it describes a step-by-step process from, zero to finish line. V'in boi k'nei seg b'mai. Shamayim azen. You're going to check the sphere to try to, discern its features. You don't use water to wash it off, to clean it, because it's going to disrupt its very fragile and gentle feature. Shamayim azen, Shamayim is relatively harsh on this material. Tarid noisen, it could disrupt it. Elabayt can oise b'shemen, rather use oil which is soft and gentle. Return to my base. Shashemen rach umatzach tzachay, the shemen is softer and will smooth it, and it will not disrupt its vein roi noisei ela b'cham. You have to do this inspection out in the sun. Ketad boit can oise, how do you do the inspection? Ask the Gemara, what do you mean how? We just described in great detail. You use oil in the sun, right? Ketzi boit ken oisai. Tamri, we just explained the elba me boit ken oisai. Leidaim zachor nekevohi. Question is, how do we determine the gender? Abashol bar nash. Amr lo, some say abashol bar remes. I mean, he says like this. Maybe kisam shiroisha chalak. Now, Tez asked, we just spoke about it before. We spoke about the Ebar Zohar being the size of a lamp. So he said, it doesn't mean that it's actually protruding. It means that the area of that gender area is that size, but it could be hidden beneath the surface. How do we actually see from the outside? So he's like this. Maybe kisam, bring a little stick, shuvesh chalok with a smooth tip. Umana neyavoy simok, you gently make contact and sort of wiggle that area. Im mesachsech, so you sort of run the stick gently over that area, back and forth. If it sort of gets stuck, there's a bump, then it's a male. But if it just smooths right over, it's in a cave. You have to know which direction to move your stick. El mata lamala, if you're going from down up, so vertically, over the area. If there's some sort of obstruction, it's a zachar, otherwise it's in a cave. Al matzdad, if you're going sideways, horizontally, so even if there's a sort of a bump, maybe it's in the cave. Ema, we can say kaisa, the walls of Beis HaRechem Ninu, so therefore it's not really an indication of a zachor. Amar Rav Ada bar Abba. Tanav went on a bris. Amar said niku in the cave. If, in fact, this shafir is meant to be in the cave, and Adonai Kisairus Luka, you would see a little crevice, like the we said before, like the crevice running along the length of a saira of a barley kernel. Mask of Rav Nachman. How do you know? Viduma, maybe that crack in the material in the skin is chutzal beitzim nina. That's the line dividing between the two testicles. So really, it's a zachor. Am abaye? Nah, you wouldn't be able to discern that at this early stage of development. Hashta beitzim gafay liyadia. You can't discern the beitzim themselves. The line running between them could be discernible. No, chutzal beitzim yadia. No, impossible. So if there is a mark, apparently it's the nekeva. Omar of Amram, Tana, we learned in the brayso. Beis yirei chaysav. The two legs are reminiscent of two threads, red threads. Ahiris is red. Vezchutin shal zahiris. V'amar of Amram Allah. Rav Amram explained on it. Kshal erev. So it's the erev threads in the loom, the horizontal threads which are thicker than the vertical threads. So that's the form of these two legs. And likewise, his two arms appear similar like two chutin of zahiris. Amar lo, and he explained on that, because shesi, here it's a bit thinner, like the shesi type of threads. Amar le Shmuel, Rav Yehuda. Shinna, smart one, wise one, sharp one. If you ever encounter a shayla with a shvir, never consider it as a vlad with status until it's so developed you see hair on its head. Achiyasir. Ask the Gemara, really? A minute ago, this is Shmuel speaking. A minute ago, what Shmuel tell us? That a shvir, even if it's filled with clear water or cloudy water, there's tumas leida. So even a clear content. Forget about hair on the head. It's just a bubble, just a balloon. This, that, all these cases concern us as a vlad. Amar Rav Amar Shmuel, yeah, it concerns us. We're not sure. There's a suffix. But here he's talking about confirmation. If you want to confirm it as a vlad, you have to see hair on the head. Amar Rav Amar Shmuel, Dimam Farshlim, Neid Vashmuel, explain to me from Shmuel. Of course it's a concern. But even a sphere that has soul. But you made tahara. To give it, you made tum, of course. Just in case, but you made tahara. That's a privilege, only coming in a confirmed situation. Lord, we're not going to grant her that. Ashi yasser, until you have a fully developed with hair on its head. Because otherwise, we're not sure. Lemeimer, do you mean to say the Mesap Gleil, the Shmuel Shmuel is not sure? At what point it's considered a Vlad? He's not, he doesn't have the clarity on this point. Shmuel was a world-renowned expert. He was a medical expert to the highest degree. Vaho, as illustrated in the following story, Vaho Shafira, that's how the committee of Shmuel, the Shafira was brought to Shmuel. Omar, he says, let me take a close look at it. This is a 41-day Shafira. It's already 41 days since conception. That's how expert he was. Omar, he says, ha? It's actually day 41 since conception. And that spelled trouble for the couple because she had gone to the mikvah only 40 days ago. How do you get a 41-day-old? It was only 40 days since the mikvah. So Shmuel told him, "Hi, Benita Baal." This fellow was a Baal with Anita before she was Tevel. They forced him. He confessed and he hopefully did teshuvah. That's how expert he was. And here he's not sure what's considered a shfir. Says the Moshani Shmuel to Rav Gubrei. You're right, Shmuel is different than the rest. A world expert, Rav Gubrei. And he personally can determine the status of a shfir. That explains why he said earlier that whether it's clear or murky, considered a vlad. He knew exactly to tell vlad from a non-vlad. But for everybody else, was not. Doesn't have that same knowledge and expertise. He was concerned that they would consider every shvir, even an unqualifying shvir, as a vlad. So he says, look, unless you're 100% sure, you have to be machmer, which means only give her yimei tuma, not yimei tahara. Unless you get to the point where it's beyond question, like you have hair on the head, in that case you can be confident and sure that it's a vlad. Okay, in conclusion, the mission spoke about a isha who sheds a shvir, it's molei mayim, dam, gninim, has no validity. It's not an indication of a vlad, unless it's shvir merukim, it has, features, it has detailed features which indicate a vlad, and then it's considered a vlad and has tumas leida. What about if it's filled with basar? Rebbe said he's not sure. Rebbe Shmuel quotes his father, Rebbe Yossi, that it has status. Turns out that it's machlekes tanoim. Chacham say no status. Rebbe Shmuel says yes, status. Some say only by ocher, some say even by tzol. Shmuel himself was a world expert, and he would consider it a leida, either way. But regarding, general instructions for everybody else, he would say, look, you can only go to chumra unless you have confirmation with hair on the head. Then, in fact, it was a vlad. Regarding the other case of shvir merukim, the Gemara explains in great detail how it's meant to look, how to do the inspection on this fragile, delicate item, and even how to discern its gender. Okay, I'm pillow sandal v'chu. Tana rabbanu. Next case in the Mishnah was she shed something called a sandal. We give it validity, and in fact, she has to observe the count of Zohar, count of Nekeva, just in case. It was, either one. So what exactly is the sandal? Turn up on a sandal, doim ledag shal yam. This sandal formation resembles a sea creature, a certain kind of fish. How did it come to this stage? Mitchilosei vlad, initially it was a proper vlad, lo shal nirtzaf, it got sort of crushed by his fellow teammate in there. Rabban Shimuli Eloimer, sandal dem loshen shoshara godl, has a different description of the sandal. It's like a tongue of a large ox, like nice and smooth and long, without any features. Mishumar b'seinu idu, it was said in the name of our Rabbi Seinu, sandal tzorach tzorach panim. In order for the sandal to qualify, It has to have some sort of facial features. Amr vidam mar shmu halacha dati halacha sandal tzarach tzuras panam. Amr av adam av yesum av yitzak sandal tzarach tzuras panam. Even if the features are behind where the face is meant to be, that also works. Why? Because it got twisted around. Mashal adam, mashal to a person who shatas chaveroi, he slapped his friend, and he quickly flipped his head, reversed his head back, and his face is now, you know, in the back. May Rabbi Yanai bikshu l'tayres ha-sandal shen l'tsuras panam. So after all said and done, we have this requirement of tsuras panam. So in fact, in the time of Rabbi Yanai, they had a sandal without the tsuras panam. They said it's tar based on this requirement. Amar Lam says, no, wow, Rabbi Yanai tells them, t'yaitum sa v'lad, you're Rabbi Matari, true v'lad, I can do that, v'atani, but what about the brayso, which lays this down as a requirement? Mishum b'seinu idu, that a sandal needs that to give it status, tzarach tzuras panam. Amar Rabbi Abaye, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. It's not a consensus view. It's a personal view of Rabbi Nechunya. Me'idusay, Rabbi Nechunya, nishnis, mishnisay. It's one of Rabbi Nechunya's, presentations, one of his testimony. It was his own personal opinion. But the consensus view is that any sandal has vlad status. Amar Rabbi Zir, zachabo, Rabbi Bishmaite. Rabbi had good mazel that he merited to be the first to present this explanation, the name of Rabbi Yechanan, something which I could have said too, but he got it first. Danavu, because it so happens that myself and him were there at the same time, and he was a Hava Yavsvinu Kamei Rabbi Yechanan, for Rabbi Yechanan, when he said this very point, Kamei Lo Shmaita. We called him Yivam of Zachaban. He had a schus to be the first presenter. Now it's attributed to his name. Now the question is like this: Lama iskiru sandal? Why even mention that his sandal has validity? We know that his sandal doesn't come alone. There's a twin alongside him. That's why he became a sandal. He was squished. But like, ain't sandal shenim with lot? Talking about squishing reminds me of a beautiful story of Moshe Feinstein. He was once walking from his home to the Yeshiva MTJ on the east side of Manhattan, and it was a really stormy, a snowy day or and this fellow with a car drove by, and he says, I have to give him a try, offer him a ride, and he turns down his window, and he says, those days to roll the window then. He said, Rosh Yeshiva, maybe you come, I'll give you a lift to the Yeshiva. So Moshe readily accepted, and he went into the back seat, and there were kids there, and he sat down, there was a little girl next to him, and as they're driving, the girl turns to her father and says, Dati, I feel squished. I'm being squished. So when they came to the yeshiva, when Moshe got off, he turned to the girl and he says, sorry for squishing you. Ah, godless. So the question is, why even bother giving sandal status? It's not a sandal per se. It's going to be with a teammate. And she said, you led this on account of that presumably healthy, baby coming alongside it. There's no sandal without an accompaniment. The answer is like this. Yeah, it all depends. If the live birth, the successful birth, was in a keva, which has a longer stretch, a longer count, 2 weeks of tumah and 66 days, so of course there's no point in mentioning the sandal, because whatever he is, he's sort of swallowed into the other count. There's no point. He was speaking the Seal Zohar about day. The twin was a Zohar who has a shorter count, only a week of Tumah, followed by 33 days of Tahara. And the point of the mission is to tell us, perhaps I can think that it's more likely that if the twin was a Zohar, that the sandal as well was a Zohar. And after word, past 40 days. Biologically, that's how it happens. Typically, the cause that brings about the Zachar will apply equally to both members of the twin family. Isha mazra'as tchila, when the Isha is with her husband, if she expresses herself hormonally first, yulad Zachar, she'll give birth to a Zachar. If the Ish expresses himself first, it's going to be in a keva. Ish mazriya tchila, he lives in a keva. So we found the twin to be a zachar. Let's assume sandal, who resulted from the same process, would likewise be the same gender. The point is no. You never know, it could be one on one. We can say Shnei Mizrim Vasachas. The Ish and the Isha both express himself simultaneously. In which case, it can go both ways. You can have one on one, Hai Zachar. Although the live one was a Zachar, but behind the Keva, the sandal, the obscure one, could have been in a Keva. In which case, he has to account for that possibility and have a longer stretch of, you know, of account. And Davar Acher. Here's another reason why we have to reckon with the sandal. Even if the twin is in a Keva, which is a very long account, you'll ask, well, whatever the sandal is, he's included in that. No, answer's like this. Suppose there was some sort of time gap between the birth of the two members of the twin family. The Nekeva was born a minute to six, a minute before Shkia, in which case you start the 80-day count from right now. After which, after the 80 days are over, she sees Dam, she's a Nida. But this second one came Lachash Shkia Zacham, it came 6:01. Right? So, now, even if the first one was in the cable, which is a super long count, 80 days, but it's going to end a day before the 80-day count of the second one, if in fact the second one was in the cable. So you have to reckon that possibility too. So if she has dam on the 81, if we discount the second birth, so it's past the 80 days of the first one, now she's anita. But if the sandal was in a keva, so really day 81 from the first birth is only day 80 of the sandal. She's not yet eligible for Yimei Nida. Only starts a day later. So let's say she has dam on day 81 of the first one, and then let's say, you know, 10 days later she sees dam again. What's her status? She's only tame, but is she a Nida or is she a Zava? Because the way it works is that the first 7 days, you see down the first 7 days you're in Nida, after which you transition to the Yimei Ziva, which has its own set of rules, which portion of the month is she holding here? Shall we say that the second thing is discounted? Sandal is not reckoned with, so now it's day 81 of the first Nekeva, so now she's free and clear to have Dam Nida, now she's Dam Nida. And 10 days later she's a Zava, like a regular one. Or shall we say, no, Sandal was in Nekeva. So her allowance is for another day of Yimei Tahara. And what she saw on day 81 from the first is discounted. It's Yimei Tahara. Because day 80 of the second one. And now 10 days later, she sees Dam. Now she's a Nida. She's starting fresh. A new experience. So she has to count for both possibilities. Moina, she has to reckon Tchilas Nida L'Rishon to start her Nida count based on the first birth and also based on the second birth. Tchilas Nida L'Achra. Okay, so we spoke about the Mapela Sando, we described it, and we explained that it's a twin that was sort of crushed by his companion. We discussed the question of whether it needs to rest upon him. Turns out that the consensus is that it doesn't. It's only Rav Chanochunya that holds and needs it, because Rashi points out, even though entity lacking facial features, pun of tuchos, right? Crushed faith, it's not viable, it doesn't have tumas later. But here, Rashi said, because there is another child with it, alongside it, we assume that it's they're both members of a twin arrangement. And here we give it the sandal status, despite the fact that it doesn't have much features to show for himself. And then the next question was, if any case, there's another Vladir, so she has to have her tumma and tahar based on the other one. And if it's an akeva, which is a very long stretch, why bother even discussing the sandal? We have two answers. Either the other one was a zachar, and this might have been in a keva, which is a longer stretch, even if they're both in the kevas, but if one was before Shkia, and one after Shkia. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rav.